to the SB Live California podcast. I'm your host, Connor Morissette, joined today with Bodie DeSilva, our journalist down in San Diego. Before we get going, though, I want to take a moment to tell you about something exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest California high school sports news, scores, videos, polls, photos, podcasts, player rankings, and much more. With the SB Live Sports app, it is now even easier to follow your favorite team, with real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more. The app delivers all the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's your number one source for California high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Lance Smith, Bodie DeSilva, and me, Connor Morissette. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. All right, Bodie, there we go. Got that read out of the way. So, Cathedral Catholic, they sure look like the class of the San Diego section in football, huh? That game wasn't as competitive as maybe we would have thought against St. Augustine last week.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you shouldn't look back at what could have been in the fall, but it is interesting to see now what Cathedral has and what we knew Helix would have had back then. Because despite those two teams not being in the same league, they've definitely developed a rivalry over the years. They almost always schedule each other. And that would have been a game where San Diego oftentimes isn't able to compete with the top teams in the Southern section. But I think between the winner of that game, they would have given a good battle and probably a team that would have reached a state championship this year. But we're happy to have the season we have, and Cathedral's definitely out to prove that they're among the state's best. And they took care of a Saints team that I still think is really good. I know some people are upset that they lost by 27 and that they shouldn't still be ranked high, but it's a loaded team, and we'll see what Lincoln can do. They'll have their chance against Cathedral here a week from Friday.
Yeah, and that sort of plays into my take. I'm going to talk about Grace Brethren to start. Did you have anything else off the top that you wanted to hit on before we move on to talking some Grace Brethren stuff?
Yeah, go ahead with Grace Brethren.
Sure. Okay, so I'm going to have the floor here for a little bit. Feel free to interject whenever you'd like. But my take is this. Josh Henderson, their head coach, I think he was so good at his job that it ultimately cost him his job, which sounds really funny. But remember, they moved from Division like 13 to 8, and this year, in a normal year, they could have been in Division 1 potentially with the way the Southern Section did divisions, not knowing what division you're in until the end of the year. We had them as, I think, number 9 in the Southern Section to begin the year. So sadly, their season's canceled, and if you remember, Henderson and Grace Brethren agree that they're going to mutually part ways after the season, so now the season's over for them, so he's done there. And my take is, like I said, he was so good that it cost him his job. And let me explain. So the program was down to 18 healthy players, so that's why they canceled. So on the face, it looks like, okay, they didn't just have enough guys, but there's more to the story. So why are they down to so few? It's because Henderson told the team, look, I'm leaving after this year. So then a lot of kids left. They only had, I think it was 20 seniors and then maybe one or two underclassmen, 18 healthy players at their most recent practice before it got canceled, so they just couldn't do it. They didn't have enough guys. So why is he leaving? He's a guy who's had so much success. What would cause that? And based on who I've talked to, so there's new leadership at the school. Remember, Grace Brethren is connected to a church, and the new leadership felt like the football team was becoming bigger than the church. So pretty much modern day, Servite, St. John Bosco, all religious private schools, but they're known for their football. And I think Grace Brethren is a school with this new leadership that sees that and they say to themselves, okay, we have this great football team, but first and foremost, we want to be a religious school. That's what we want to be known for, not for football. And again, that's not a perfect comparison, but I think when they see Grace have so much success so fast, this new leadership, they say to themselves, okay, you know, we're trending in this direction towards this powerhouse private school. And that's not what we're about. That's not what we want to be. And that's fine. But I didn't love how they handled it all. And what I mean by that is today in the Ventura County Star, there was a story about what happened. And I thought it was interesting. Go read that if you have a chance. And so Scott Nander is the principal at Grace Brethren. And one quote that I don't want to say I had an issue with, but something that I didn't really take at face value. He said, I wonder if we really could compete at this level in the long run. And my response to that would be, with Josh Henderson at the helm, of course you could compete at that level. He's proven that they're at this level. You are that good. With him, he set up a youth football program that excelled, so there are always great players in the pipeline. And he proved that Grace Brethren is a team that absolutely could compete at this level. I wish he had come out and said, I wondered if we should really compete here, because that's what it's about. Could they? Yes, of course. Grace was great. They could have been Division I this year. Like I said, that youth team made them really, really good. But I think the issue with them, it's not whether they could, it's whether they should. Do we want to be in this position? And the answer was clearly no. And I wish that they just come out and say that. Look, we don't want to be in this position. We want to be a small school that is known for religious education. We have a football team. Maybe it's 8-man. Maybe it's a Division 13 or 14 program. But once Henderson, you know, had this much success and was so good, propelled them to a spot they didn't want to be, they got uncomfortable, and now the two sides go their own way. So I just wish in that story, and another quote from it, Nander and Henderson both agree that the football team achieved so much success so quickly, so drastically, that it finds itself at a tier it does not belong. And they do belong there. They're that good. They've proven that they were that good. And I think if Henderson, if I could get him off the record, he'd say, yeah, we did belong there. We were that good. It just seemed like the school leadership didn't want them to be there, and so they're pulling the plug. It looks like COVID is the perfect excuse to, and you know, not having enough numbers to just say, okay, we're not having a season this year. We're going to reset and come back next year. So I didn't love how that all went down. I think it makes sense, but I had an issue with how the school responded to everything that happened. And I hope that made sense. But do you see where I'm coming from, buddy? I think the school could be that good at football, but they just don't want to be. And that's fine, but they didn't portray it like that.
Yeah, it definitely seems from afar like it's not that it was this short little run that with him there, they would be able to sustain it. And that Kitts clearly, as you noted with Kitts heading out when he informed them of what was happening, that they wanted to play for him, and that there's no reason it couldn't stayed as something long term.
Yeah. So just I thought that was interesting, and I wanted to get my perspective out there. I'm hearing that Josh Henderson maybe could wind up at St. Francis. Remember, very sadly, Jim Bonds, their former coach, passed away. They have an interim coach now, so that could be a good fit. I'm hearing some other private schools as well, but I don't want to speculate too much without knowing enough. But clearly, I mean, you look at the great high school football coaches in Southern California, and for me, I think Josh Henderson is right at the top of the list. And you always hear people complain about how the coaches at the big schools who get all the great players, you know, how much do those guys really need to coach versus being, you know, program heads and being more administrative. When you rise from 13 to 3 like they did, you got to be a damn good coach, and Josh Henderson certainly is. And wherever he ends up, I think that next school will get a really, really great coach. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully he has a job by next fall. But just very interesting what's happening there. And it's sad whenever you see stuff like that. I do feel for the seniors. And I see Bodie, isn't there a kid in San Diego who's a senior who's going to Washington State who's having some issue as well? So anytime it's a senior who they already had their season cut short, now there's not even a spring year for those guys, you do feel bad. And I don't want to talk too much about what's going on in San Diego, but I've been seeing that on Twitter. What's going on there?
Yeah, there's two down at Modern Day Catholic. Josh Meredith, who transferred in, he signed with Washington State. And then Nico Estrada, who also transferred in, he signed with Idaho. In a shortened year, I mean, you'd love to see them play. At least the argument I can make for them is that they're both signed to their colleges and they're not seniors that are lacking film. Beyond any of that, I won't go too far. I know there's opinions on both sides and different athletic directors and dealing with CIF there. But ultimately, those kids will go on and they'll have their college careers. It's unfortunate that this whole year has ended up the way it has. Obviously, wish we could have just played as normal back in the fall, but it is what it is at this point, and they'll move on and at least have an opportunity at the next level.
Yeah, thankfully with transfers, I haven't really seen anything in the Southern section or LA City section like that. But obviously the Grace Brethren situation, they had some really good seniors. Their quarterback, Mikey Zelli, would have been a four-year starter if he had played this year. And in that Ventura County Star story, he mentioned how he's probably going to go to College of the Canyons, which is a junior college, and then try to make the jump from there. So you just wish everybody well there at Grace. It's a shame what's happening, but I do understand why it's happening. You know, could things have been done differently? Maybe. But I think hopefully that provided some clarity and some better understanding of exactly what went on there. All right, Bodie, let's talk about some games this week in football. I know in San Diego it's not the best week for games, right? Last week was huge, but this week it leaves a little bit to be desired, if you will.
Yeah, there have been, obviously, with Point Loma shutting down their season last week, just the ripple effect it had. St. Augustine was supposed to play them in a league game. They'd informed them several weeks back, so at least it gave them the opportunity. They're going to go play Oceanside next week. But for Cathedral, with only a week to prepare, it took away that game. And ultimately, Cathedral would have won that game easily. We saw what Lincoln did with Point Loma. But it left Cathedral without a game this week. So certainly frustrating to those kids that are now going to only have five games this season. But they will get to play Lincoln a week from now, which likely will be another 1-2 matchup. So Lincoln will get their chance. It's not the best week overall. I'm still looking around at which game I'll head to. But there are some lower division games. Christian versus Morse is one I look at that I think could be a really close game. Byron Cardwell at Morse, they've only played once so far. Mission Bay and La Jolla, Jackson Stratton looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the section as a junior, thrown 9 touchdowns so far. So that's another good option. And yeah, just glad that these teams, as they kind of showing as we get into these later weeks now, that they're showing off on film what they hope to back in the fall. And seems like some offers are coming out of it. And definitely use it as a springboard to those freshmen and sophomores that 3 months from now will be able to start their next season and hopefully have a regular 11-week season with playoffs. So,
is Cardwell, even though he only played the one game, I know he's signed to Oregon, right? Is he playing as if it was a normal season, do you know?
Yeah, it seems that that's the case. I know there have been a couple Division I signees down here that they are playing their season, but it definitely feels like they've talked to the coaches and are kind of limiting how much they play to hold back maybe an injury risk. But it's good to see those kids competing. I know Helix had a bunch that opted out, and that's awesome for them, whether it's early enrollees or just getting ready come fall time to enroll at the college. But yeah, would have liked to see what all these teams could have been at full strength back in the fall. And so many things have changed and transfers to other states that weren't sure whether California would end up playing. But we're here. We're a few weeks into the season. Really have only had a couple teams have to shut down games. So things are going pretty good. And we got so many sports happening at once. So pretty awesome.
Two big games on my radar this week. First, it's a battle of teams without a win, Birmingham at St. Bernard, and it's actually tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday, so after this, I'll edit it, get it online, and then head over to that game. I expect St. Bernard to win after playing Loyola, a team I think is really good, really close. So if Loyola's good and St. Bernard was right there winning in the fourth quarter against them, obviously they're pretty good. I think that Sierra Canyon game where they got killed was a little bit of an anomaly, and Sierra Canyon is one of those teams that is just right at the top. I think there's 4, maybe 6 really, really good teams in the southern section, and Sierra Canyon is right there. So that was a tough first game for St. Bernard, but it is what it is. I'm excited on the Birmingham side to look at Arliss Boardingham, their great defensive end, tight end, receiver, whatever you want to call him. My old coworker Alex Scar covered Birmingham against Calabasas last week, and Calabasas ended up winning that game at the end, but he said Boardingham was all over the place and made some really incredible plays. Texas is a school that's high on him, so I'm excited to see how he looks against St. Bernard, a team that is a little bit better than Calabasas, has some more firepower, some more bigger names. How does he do against a team that he's a little bit overmatched with? Because Birmingham, they have some good players as well, but I think St. Bernard is a class ahead, and Larry Turner Gooden is a great defensive back for St. Bernard, committed to Arizona State. It'll be cool if they cover each other tonight. That would be a fun matchup. Sometimes they play receiver, or Turner Gooden plays receiver, so maybe vice versa as well. But I'm excited to see that matchup. I like St. Bernard, though, to win that game, probably by 3 scores, I'd say. So maybe not the closest one. And then the other big game, not happening on Good Friday because it's the Trinity League, and you know, they don't want to have games on Good Friday, but Servite is hosting Modern Day at the Santa Ana Bowl on Saturday. That's going to be a big game. Lance and I will be there. and I was very close to almost getting my prediction right for the St. John Bosco Servite game. It was 31-28 with a little bit of time left, and I predicted 31-30 St. John Bosco, but they scored a late touchdown, so it was 38-28. I like Modern Day this week. Servite, they're close, but that depth on defense concerns me, and they had trouble stopping the run against St. John Bosco. I think they'll struggle to stop the run against Modern Day, and I like Modern Day 31-28, but here on my sheet, Bodie, I have it's all about who can stop the run, because when Servite was running the ball well against St. John Bosco with Houston Thomas, Troy Thomas's son, they look great. When St. John Bosco was running the ball, that's sort of what separated them when Jabari Bates had a big run in that second half against Servite, and that was ultimately the difference. They just couldn't get stops, the Servite defense, and a lot of it had to do with how well St. John Bosco was running the ball. So who stops the run better? I think that will be the determining factor in that game. And I know Modern Day is a really young quarterback, but he's been so far so good on that end. I don't expect the Servite defense to really, really mess him up. I think he can, Elijah Brown can be a good game manager, and that'll be fine. That those receivers of Modern Day are so good. So I think it all comes down to who can stop the run, and I like Modern Day's chances of stopping the run better than I like Servite's chances. So I have Modern Day by 3 in that game, but should be a pretty fun one. I'm excited to get out there, because Servite, they can finally compete at this level, which is nice to see.
Yeah, no, I saw you got out to basketball as well last night. I was a little surprised. I saw Windward back in state playoffs last year, and knowing what they had back, I figured that would be a closer game. Is St. John Bosco a team that's looking really good this year?
Yeah, I think St. John Bosco is good, and they definitely have a chance in the Trinity League, even though it seems like it's always Modern Day who wins. But I think, Bodie, that was the first game for both teams. A lot of rust. Kajani Wright, the great Windward center, picked up 3 fouls, like a snap of the finger, so he almost didn't play very much at all in the second and third quarter. I think it's just rust. And Windward was good last year. They lost Devin Tillis, who went to UNLV, who's now in the transfer portal. Couple other contributors. So I think it's different, whereas St. John Bosco, with the exception of one of their bigs who's at Northern Arizona, they bring back everyone. And we were all talking to Matt Dunn, the Bosco coach, before, and he said it's a great year to bring back everyone pretty much. So I like what they bring. I think their big trio of Lamage Lewis, Scotty Washington, and Jeremiah Niorko are good. They're all bigger guys. Like Lewis and Washington, I guess you could say, are guards, but they could be forwards. And then Niorko is a really athletic forward. So I think St. John Bosco is going to be able to match up with a lot of teams. And remember, there's no clear, at least in the southern section, it's not like, okay, Sierra Canyon is B.J. Boston and Zaire Williams this year. Watch out. Sierra Canyon has Amari Bailey and then Bronny, who's hurt, and Shai Odom, some good players, but they're not like they were last year. So I think in a weird year where we don't even know if there are going to be playoffs, which is a shame. I hope there are. If there are, I think a team like St. John Bosco, I don't want to say has a real shot to win Division One, but they have a better shot than they would have in years past, because in this weird COVID year, for whatever reason, there's no clear, okay, that team is number one and you got to watch out for them, like it's been with Sierra Canyon in the last couple of years. There's no Evan Mobley at Rancho Christian this year. There's no number one clear, okay, geez, watch out for him. The best player in California is Peyton Watson. He's at Long Beach Poly. They dropped into Division II AA this year. So it's not like it was in years past, at least in the southern section. How about in San Diego? Is there a clear top team?
Yeah, I would say there's a clear top two. Maybe not super clear, but going back to how last season ended in the open division with Cathedral Catholic and Torrey Pines, they each lost a Division I player off that team. But I think ultimately with who they each have returning, it's pretty deep groups throughout, each with Division I guys returning. And I think those are the first two at least to start. But I do think it's going to be a deep year. Cathedral hasn't played their first game so far. Torrey Pines has. They beat Santa Fe Christian last night in a game that went to double overtime. So And Santa Fe Christian's a team that they've won several, I think three of the last four Division I titles. They've always just been right outside the open division, but with three college quality guards, I know two of them are signed to Azusa Pacific. This is a year where I expect them to be in the open division, and I expect it to be a deep year overall. There's a lot of good teams, and San Marcos is another one I think I should mention there, that they're top five. So should be a good year in San Diego. Just I know all these teams are cramming in. They're allowed 28 games, and they really only have 59 possible days to play it in. So I know some teams are going to play the full allotment. Some are only going to play 20. So we'll see. And there's also some quality sit out guys that will have to sit out. I know the rule is half the team's season. So about whether it's 14 games, 10 games, however many games you're playing. And as those guys work in towards the later part of the year, should just only add even more depth to whoever those eight open division teams end up being.
It's a shame, no matter what happens with the postseason, we won't see a state tournament like we usually would, in all possibility, just with COVID. Because it sounds like, at least in San Diego, buddy, two top teams, but no clear number one. I think we could see a lot of changeover this year. And I know up north, it's not Sheldon this year that's number one. It looks like it's Bishop O'Dowd, who has a lot of great talent. And I'd be excited just to see some different teams. Down here, Heritage Christian is a team that could surprise some people with a lot of really good talent. They have a great freshman. And then Corona Centennial, I know they won't surprise anyone because they have so much talent every year, but they're a team who I look at and say, okay, maybe they could win the Open this year. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a very intriguing basketball season just because of what's happened with COVID, but also because there's going to be so much parity. So I'm really excited for that. And as we wind down the football season, I believe we're already past the halfway point, at least. For,
it's gone so quick.
Yeah, at least.
With all these other sports starting, it doesn't feel like you're missing out. You just move to the next one.
Yeah, so once football ends, we'll be diving fully into baseball, fully into basketball. I know Lance will be doing a lot with girls basketball and softball, so that'll be fun. Any final thoughts, Bodie? I'm glad we talked about basketball, though. I definitely wanted to work that in, so thank you.
Yeah, no, I've been able to get out to something in each sport so far, which that's great. And as football winds up here, these next couple of weeks, we'll have baseball and basketball. And at least down here in San Diego, they're all in on playing a pretty regular season. It's a little shorter of a timeline, but come right around when the school year ends, they'll be getting their playoffs. And I know the basketball CIF title is scheduled the day after graduation for some schools. So they'll push it right up to the last minute. But as we head into the next fall year, should have some return to normal, at least.
Yeah, that's crazy. Usually baseball is the sport you got to worry about with graduation. Yeah. But this year it's basketball. He's Bodie Da Silva. I'm Connor Morissette. This is the SB Live California podcast. Catch us every week here on our site or on Castos or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.